Morning. Let's begin our worship this morning. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring. What loving zeal, the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborn, sin sick and sorrow on, whom Christ doth heal. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring. With fervent prayer, the wayward and the lost, by restless passions tossed, redeemed at countless cost from dark despair. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring. With one accord, with us the work to share, with us reproach to death, with us the cross to bear, for Christ our Lord.
Good morning. Before we open the worship services, I would like to public service announcement. Patty and I will be wearing masks again as per our four youngest grandchildren's doctor's request. So if we want to see them in confined situations, we will be wearing masks. We're not contagious, but apparently we can still carry the virus to our four youngest. So let's turn to Romans 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 2. Romans 12. Verses 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, our great and wonderful Father, raising our voices in song and prayer and study of your word. We pray that our worship is acceptable and pleasing to you. I pray that our lives will be a sacrifice to you in spreading your word throughout this world and bringing others to you. We are not of this world, and I pray that you keep us and protect us from the evil ways of this world as we continue to walk here on earth, preparing ourselves to return home to you in the end. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing this song. Start with the sopranos, basses come in on the second, and tenors added on the third. Sopranos. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining. On higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on high. On higher ground, my heart has not his desire to stay, where doubts arise and fierce dismay. Though some may dwell where these are found, my prayer, my aid is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plea than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me o'er to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plea than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plea than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Please be seated. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto thy King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. We shall assemble in his memory to come and gather at his feet. His love compel us to his table with one another hungry. Glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. And at the end of our journey, we shall bow down on bended knee, and with the angels up in heaven, we'll sing the song of victory. Glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. Apologize for that quick finger there. Song before prayer and scripture reading. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long has it been
since you woke with my
God? Hang on. Hang on. I did it again. Let me get back to that one. How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that He'd answered you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you walked with the dawn and felt that the days were the living? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you?
Good morning. Today I'll be reading Mark 12, 28 through 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that He is one, and there is no other besides Him. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And ask that no one dared to ask Him any more questions. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for this day. Thank You for giving us the time to come together. Help us use these words in our day-to-day basis when school is starting. Help us to show Your love when others won't. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Jesus on the night betrayed, honored God as he blessed the bread and for his disciples said, thus remember me. Jesus gave an in our stead, blessed the fruit of the vine, and said, this my blood for you is shed. So remember me. Lord, we thank thee for the bread and the cup from the nameless dread. Help us to discern our head and remember thee. Night with abandon brooded o'er the veil. All around was silent, save the night winds wail, when Christ the man of sorrows, in tears and sweat and blood, prostrate in the garden, raised his voice to God. Smitten for offenses which were not his own, he for our transgressions had to weep alone. No friend with words to comfort, nor hand to help was there. When the meek and lowly humbly bowed in prayer, Abba Father, Father, if indeed it may, let this cup of anguish pass from me, I pray. Yet if it must be suffered by me, thine only Son, Abba, Father, Father, let thy will be done.
John chapter 6. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 47. This is the words of our Lord. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that no one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Let's pray. Lord, we think back on that day whenever your son gave his life to free us. We we think about his body, his physical body, then the pain that he suffered. We think back on him in the garden, praying, pleading that that cup may pass from him. Lord, we are thankful that he understood and knew. We're so thankful that he loved and that he gave. As we take this bread, Lord, we ask that we think back on that sacrifice and we reflect on the love that was shown. And we think on our lives and the love that we must show as we wait and look forward to his return. It's in your son's name. Amen. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. We think back on your son once again. We think about him at the table, taking the cup that represented his blood. Lord, this morning we do the same. We think back on his blood that he willingly gave, knowing that it would purify and cleanse and free us, would free man from sins. Lord, as we take this cup, we pray your blessings upon it. We thank you so much for the love that was displayed on that cross that day. It's in your son's name. Amen. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Not only did God give his Son, but he blesses us each and every day. In so many ways, we are blessed that we overlook. We're blessed with families and friends. We're blessed with jobs. We're blessed with homes, food, all these physical things that we take for granted. And it is so easy to overlook those that aren't as blessed as we are. And it's just what a privilege and what a blessing it is to be able to give back some of those blessings that have been given to us. Let's pray. Lord, we think about your Son, and we know that he's with you in heaven. We know that he gave so much and continues to give so much. Lord, we think on the ways that we have been blessed, the joys that we have, not only in being your people and in your kingdom, but just the physical blessings that you give us each and every day. Lord, we ask that you help us to look and seek out opportunities to bless others, whether it be financially or just with a hug or a kind word, with adding them in our prayers. Lord, just help us to be a loving people, a caring people, compassionate, and reflect your Son in all of our actions. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Together, Lord, bind us together. Bind us together with love. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Steve, I'm having my version of screen buttons. Hey, I did want to just let everybody know what happens. Ben, remember them in our announcements, and then keep them in your prayers right now. Scotty had to leave. A friend of his had to take his wife to the emergency room right now, and they have two little kids and no one else to watch them. So Scotty went to go pick up the kids and get them to Grandma and Lamisa. So prayers for a safe trip for Scotty and then for this young lady that's having to be taken to the emergency room this morning. So, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we are amazed that you have brought us together to eat the bread of life. Father, you have made us eternal. You have made it so that our greatest enemy has been defeated. We praise your name. We celebrate your love, and we enjoy your bountiful gifts. Father, we want to give you our spiritual sacrifice. We want to give you our lives. And as we study the scriptures this morning, I pray that you open our eyes and our hearts to the ways in which we need to give you our lives, the ways in which we've been failing to do so. I pray, Father, that you fill us with your Spirit so that we will have the desire to live for you and that we will know how to live for you. Father, I pray that you make our cups overflow. I pray that you stretch us, that you force us to grow, so that we will have to lean upon you more and more each day. Father, I lift up the church, and I pray, Lord, that our desire is not comfort, but your kingdom. Blessed be your name. We ask that you be with Scotty as he takes those kids to Lamisa, and we pray that you be with this young lady that is going to the emergency room right now. We ask for healing. We ask for strength and comfort for this family. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bible back up to Mark chapter 12. This morning we are going to celebrate our national holiday. Our national holiday, back to school. Back to school. Now, I know what you're thinking, but that's not a national holiday. It actually is. It actually is. That's our calendar. That's how we set our time. We have kids here. We have parents here. We have grandparents here. We have teachers here. We have homeschool teachers here. Education is a big deal for a lot of years in our lives. And so back to school, the time where we kick things off and get everything going for the school year, is a national holiday. And being such an important time because it is a beginning. And if you begin well, chances are you will end well. And so today we are going to talk about beginning well, getting everybody ready. So kids, a lot of this is for you, but your parents aren't going to be able to ignore it either. I want us all, whatever role we play, to be prepared, to be prepared. So I'm excited about today, and I hope you are too. I was excited before, but then reading in John chapter 6 and having my heart reminded that taking of the flesh of Jesus gives us eternal life. You are eternal, so it matters. It matters. More than you thought about this last week, it matters. More than you thought about this morning, it matters. You are eternal. And that is through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Church, who we are and what we are doing here today is a bigger deal than you and I have admitted to ourselves. It matters eternally. Wow. Wow. All right. This morning, I want us to hear from Mark chapter 12 what Jesus says is the most important thing. The most important thing. He's asked the question, the scribe, the learned man, the one who enjoys education, he likes going to school, he likes learning new things, and he hears about this new teacher. You know, kids, you're going to get your schedule, and some of our kids are starting tomorrow, some of them are starting Wednesday, some of them are starting next week, and you're going to hear about your new teacher. You may not know them. They may be new to your school, or you may have heard stories about your teacher. Like, I'm sure some of you Setliff kids have probably heard a few things about your teacher this year. Right? Not sure about, right? Yeah. It's kind of scary. So we hear about this new teacher, and that's what this guy does. He hears there's a new teacher in town. His name's Jesus. And so he goes to him and he says, so I really want to know, what do you teach? What do you think? What's really important? So he asks Jesus, what is the most important command? And he says, listen up, Israel. There is one God. And you love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength. Forgive the order. He says the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he said there's really 1A and 1B. And the scribe, the guy who's listening and asking the question, he says, you know, you're right. You're right. That's a pretty important commandment. That's a pretty important commandment. And Jesus says two things about him. It's kind of interesting here. Jesus compliments this guy in two ways. Number one, he noticed that he had answered wisely. Why did he answer wisely? Because he quoted the master. Why did he answer wisely? Wisdom was found in the fact that he found what was important through God's word. The most important thing that we will learn this year, whatever age and whatever stage of life we are at, the most important lessons you will learn this year are from God. Now, you will have to apply them in different ways, in new campuses, new schools, new grades, new challenges. But the most important thing that all of us will learn is from God, and that is wisdom, understanding that. Number two, I love how he says to the scribe, he says, oh, you are so close to the kingdom. You are so close to God's kingdom. Did anybody catch why he's not right there yet? Don't you love it when your teacher says, leaves you room for improvement? Like you just studied so hard and you just expected to make 100 and you got a 97. Just because they don't want you to feel like you're at the 100. But you know, you've got a little bit of room to improve. Jesus says to him, he says, you are so close to God's kingdom. Did you catch it? Something in what this scribe says, ha, you are almost there, but not quite. The scribe says, yeah, you're right. Those are three very important things. How many did Jesus say there were? Four. The man forgot the soul. He forgot the soul. So he's close. It's a good answer. It's a good try. Jesus said, well, at least he's quoting God's word, so he's searching the right place for wisdom, but you forgot the soul. This morning, we are going to take a look at the words of Jesus himself, not the words of this scribe trying to get educated, but the one who provides this education. We, this year, are going to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, and our strength. Starts with our heart. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3. Now, if we're going to love God with all of our heart, we have to understand that our heart is where our emotions, our affections, and our passions come from. Okay? If you hear news about someone, that goes into the hospital, our heart is the person that you would actually get upset, get on your knees for prayer, maybe cry, maybe go up there as fast as you could. If we just hear about a prayer request or an announcement of someone that lives kind of close to Scotty and he's going to help out, well, that's a prayer request. But our heart is, hey, your mom needs to go to the hospital. Wait, what's that? That's your heart. And God, Jesus says, love God with all of your heart. Who or what you care about. And look, all of us, students, teachers, parents, your heart's going to be challenged this year. Your heart is going to be challenged. Your emotions, your affections, they are going to be stretched and pulled in all different directions. They're going to get beat down. They're going to get knocked around. And we need to hear what is said in 1 John chapter 3. Go down to verse 19. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. Okay, this is how we know, because there come times in our life where we don't know, well, what is true? What is real? They said something. How do I know who to trust? Who's telling me the truth? Who's not telling me the truth? I learned something new. I didn't know this before. So I'm having to adjust my outlook and my mindset. How can this be trusted? By this we know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. Look, other people that you encounter, they're going to tear your heart down. They're going to try to rip your heart out. But God's word reassures our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. So the source of us, where our emotions and our affections and our passions, God is greater than all of those things, and he knows everything. Because it's our heart that says, oh, you're not good enough. You can't understand that math problem. Those kids, you're just not cool enough to hang out with them. Or you're not good enough to make that team. Whenever our heart condemns us, know this, God is greater than our heart. He knows everything. See, everybody else knows some things, right? Your teachers, they know some things. Your coaches, they know some things. God knows everything. So when you get beat up and knocked around and you're feeling bad, you're feeling bad about yourself because of what someone else says, they don't know everything. God knows everything. Go to God, take him your heart, and he will reassure you. He will build you back up. He will remind you that you are my beloved child. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know, and let your heart rest in that truth. He says, 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. God wants us to be confident. He doesn't want our hearts to condemn us. He wants us to be confident. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandment abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Church, kids, adults, everybody, I want you to hear this. God does not want you miserable. God does not want you broken. God wants you to know that you are filled with His very presence. Now, He wants us humble. He wants us to remember and always know that the power, and we'll get to strength and power here in a minute, it's all His. The glory all belongs to Him. We're not great and awesome and powerful because we are so great. We are great and awesome and powerful because He is with us. If He is with us and we walk around moping, sad, scared, lonely, defeated, is that very good evidence that God is there? No, it is not. When we are all those negative things, all that does is prove that God is not there. Because where God is, there is victory. Church, we all need to hear this. Because this is not just individual lives starting to school this week or next. This is all of our lives, and this is in the church. If God is with us, we have the victory. May it be evident. May it be seen. God is greater than your heart. When your emotions are all over the place, it's okay. God's greater than your emotions. When your passions are, you know, you're not really sure what you want to do or what's the most important, it's okay. God's bigger than that. So love God with all your heart. And all those other things and passions and emotions are going to run in the right direction. Number two, love God with all of your soul. Now, when we think about our soul, this is really our identity. Identity is an important word going along these days. Everybody wants to talk about identity. Your soul is your identity. It is your essence. It is who you truly are. Love God with who you are and what you are. You see, what's popular in the world today is spending all of our energy trying to find out who we are. And we will encounter and you will run into people who are trying to find who they are within themselves. But church, God, again, He is greater than us because He created us. Our greatest search is figuring out more about the Creator because He gave us our identity. He gave us our essence. He gave us our nature. He said, I knew you when you were in your mom's belly. I've always known you. And I made you. So with all that we have, that's who we love God with. Let's turn over to Psalm 131. Psalm 131. Now sometimes our essence, our identity, our nature, who we really are, tends to get cloudy. We've all struggled with identity issues. Am I my job? Am I my role in my family? Who am I? What am I supposed to be? And sometimes that gets scary. And well, sometimes it kind of throws us around. Psalm 131, listen to this. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But instead, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child, my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So what David writes, he says, when it comes to our soul, when it comes to who we are, we need to sit in God's lap and trust Him with everything. That's an amazing picture, isn't it? You think about the safest place, the safest person that you know, the one who takes care of you, the one who loves you more than anything, and just be in their presence. That's what God does for our soul. So when we are tossed about, when we're trying to figure things out in life, we're trying to understand ourselves better, just take a deep breath. And get into God's presence, crawl up in His lap. And look, church, look, here's our prayer life. Here's our quiet time. Here is our shutting down all the noisemakers that we love to worship, getting those away from us for a little while, and just calming ourselves in the presence of God. You have a quiet place? You have a quiet person? I mean, I know you have stressful people, right? But do you have a quiet person? Do you have someone in your life that you can be around and you know what? It's all good. It's all good. It doesn't matter what's going on out there. It's all good. Moms, dads, are we thinking about making our homes that place? Are we thinking about what we're going to do this school year when our kids have been pulled in 47 different directions and they get home? Are we going to be that quiet place where they can rest, relax, that we remind them who they truly are and encourage them that everything is okay? We all need that place, don't we? And look, maybe your mom and dad aren't around to provide that place for you. But maybe you need to find that quiet place. Maybe you need to find that place with the Father in heaven and just say, Abba, Daddy, I need to be reminded. It was a rough day. We're all going to have hard days this school year. We're going to have days that were just challenging. It was just rough. And we're going to ask ourselves, what do I do? How do I go on? Well, we got to go to our Father. We have to go to our Father and we have to spend time in His calm and quiet presence. And when we do that, we will renew our soul. So, be at peace with God. Things are chaotic. Things are going to fall apart. Things are going to go in ways that you did not plan. You're going to be scared of things this year. Go to God for comfort and love Him with all your soul. All right, next. Love God with all your mind. All your mind. Beginning of school, we're thinking about our minds. We think about our brains, right? We got to put a lot of new things in our brains. We've spent the summer trying to leak as much of our brain out our ears as possible. We've tried to forget everything we learned last year. We've just played video games. We've watched videos. We've watched TikToks. We've tried to figure out if we could do this dance or that dance. And we've done all these things that just really let our brains go. And now it's time to renew our minds. And when we think about our mind, we're thinking about our thoughts, our opinions, our point of view, our priorities, what you think about, and what do you think about those things? That's your mind. Love God with all your thoughts. Terry read for us in Romans chapter 12. We're going to go back there. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That's the one I had too. Romans chapter 12, the apostle Paul looks at the church and he says, look, if you're going to love God with all your mind, you've got to renew it. You have got to renew your mind. Church, this happens to us. It's strange to even hear that it's evil because we live in this world and it just feels natural. We get our thoughts and our opinions from everyone around us and it just becomes natural to start thinking like others, to start behaving like others, to start acting like others, and we don't even realize it's evil. We don't even realize it's dark because, hey, come on, I'm not evil. I'm not dark. So what I'm saying and what I'm doing must be okay. Well, that's the lie we tell ourselves. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 says this instead. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by God's mercy, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Present your entire body. Give God your life. This is your spiritual worship. Spiritual. I think it's interesting. The word in the text there is actually rational. Rational. Rational service. We tend to think, oh, well, presenting my whole life to God, that's my spiritual life. That's my Christian life. That's my church life. No, it's not. You have been made eternal through the blood of Jesus Christ, through your baptism, through your connection to your Savior, so it is only rational, it only makes sense that you live and think and believe as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Anything other than that is insane. Anything other than that is insane. Anybody been called crazy for how they think the last year? I hope so. I have. I hope you join me. It only makes perfect sense to actually follow God with my thoughts, my mind, my thinking. And those that do not have the mind of Christ, what is it to them? It's folly. It's silliness. It's ridiculous. How could you possibly think that? How could you possibly believe that? How could you possibly have that opinion? Well, I've been given the mind of Christ. And if you don't have the mind of Christ, I don't expect you to understand everything. In fact, I didn't even understand it. It had to be a gift. Because how do I understand anything? The Spirit of God. My mind is redirected by the Spirit of God. So yeah, I hope they call you crazy. I hope they don't understand everything you think. They can't. They can't. In fact, if they do, that should be more of a warning than anything else. If you think just like everybody around you, if you think exactly like everybody else in the world, careful. Careful. So our rational service, presenting our entire life to God, knowing that we belong to Him and only Him, only makes sense in light of what He has done for us. So now, how do I do that? How do I do that? I constantly renew my mind. Look, students, parents, our mind is going to be filled with junk this year. Just crud, bad stuff. You're going to see it on your phone. You're going to see it on your computer. You're going to see it on TV. You're going to hear it on the news. You're going to hear it from friends. You're going to hear it in a school bathroom. You're going to hear it in the locker room. You're going to hear it at the gym. You are going to hear bad things. And if you're not careful, you tend to let all those bad things determine how you now think about things, right? Because, look, it's as simple as this. A fellow student is not going to be happy with how they were graded or treated, and they're going to say, "Oh, I can't stand Mrs. So-and-so. They're a horrible teacher." And you say, "Huh, yeah, they are a horrible teacher. That's not fair. That's not right. They are a horrible teacher." And there you went. Mrs. So-and-so may have never done anything wrong to you, but now you have turned your mind and your thoughts in that direction, and now you're just jumping on board. They're a horrible teacher. Right? It's very easy. And so God's word tells us to not be conformed to this world. That means we don't be shaped by everyone around us. Instead, we transform our mind. We are constantly renewing how we think about things, what we even think about. If you're looking at something bad, stop! If you're letting something evil into your mind, quit! Well, Michael, you don't, it's just been so long and it's just become so difficult. Just stop! Just quit. I don't have the willpower. You're right. Neither do I. But you know what I can do? The simple thing that you can do. It's as easy as this. Watch. I'll show you how it's done. You ready? Everybody paying attention? I feel like that guy on TikTok. He takes very difficult things. I don't even know what they call him. But he takes very difficult situations when people make situations very difficult, and then he just shows you how simple it really is. Somebody, what is that guy called? Anybody know? Yeah, he always ends with, when he takes something very difficult and he simplifies it down to its basis form to just show everyone, love that guy. I love that guy. He cracks me up. That's it. When you find yourself going in the wrong direction or doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, turn around. It's called repentance. That's what the Bible calls it. But in very simple terms, it means turn around. All of us. We're going to have opportunities to repent. You say something mean or bad or hurtful to someone, repent. Turn around. Apologize. You find that your daily habits are not conducive to you actually being close to Jesus, stop. Apologize and turn around. When school has got you beat down and you just go, "Oh, I just can't do this. I can't understand this." Stop. Apologize to the Lord because He made you and He knows everything, and turn around and try it again. Renew your mind. Finally, He says, "Love God with all of your strength. Now, you don't have to be a bodybuilder. You don't have to beat Tony at an arm wrestling contest to be strong. Any of us can be strong. What is our strength? Our strength is our power, our drive. What keeps you going? Love God with all of it. Love God with all of it. Because all of us have that thing that just keeps us going, right? Doesn't always work, but we have that thing. It keeps us going. It's drive. It's power. It's strength. Now, with all of our strength, we are to love God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul in this letter is going to help us figure out how to love God with all of our passion and all of our energy. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. 3:14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge." So when you're in school and your grades aren't exactly what you want them to be, there's something more important than knowledge. That is the love of Jesus. It's more important that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Renew your strength. Look, it doesn't matter how much you exercise, how hard you work out with the team, how much you run or lift weights. Whatever strength that you can build up for yourself is no match for the strength and power provided through Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We've got a lot of our young people became followers of Jesus this last year, which is exciting. It's really cool. And I know we have more young people, and I'm confident that they are learning from their families and from the church what it means, what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Well, I want all of you to know that because you are a follower of Jesus, you have more power than those in this world. You have been given more power than those in this world. And the final word is victory. The final word is victory. Today may be hard. This week may be hard. But the final word is victory. Parents, you need to be patterning that for your kids. You just do. Because they got enough. They have enough voices going on around them saying, "Oh, it's bad. It's awful. Be scared. Be sad. Be broken." The final word in Jesus Christ is victory. He is our strength. He is our power. And all that we have is His. It only makes sense. It only makes sense. Whew. It's good to be a Christian, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Oh, it's good to be a Christian. So, today, for those of you who did not know before, in Jesus Christ, you are eternal. You have His life. His life was raised from the grave, and it lasts forever. And you, being in Jesus Christ, means that you are forever. Now, the awesome one who did this for us, the awesome one who laid down His life to pay the price for all the bad stuff that we have done. Every bad thing we have ever done and ever will do, Jesus said, "I'll take the blame." Yeah, but I broke my brother's toy and I lied about it so I wouldn't get in trouble. Jesus says, "I'll take that." Well, I treated my wife with disrespect, and I was not very nice when I spoke to her the other day. Jesus says, "I'll take that." Well, I put some things in my body and made some decisions that I am not very proud of in my younger days. And Jesus says, "I'll take that." you take me. Jesus takes everything that we are, all the mess, all the crud, all the sin, all the bad. We bring that to him and he says, I will take that. And he took it to the cross. And the Father says, I'll accept that. Jesus paid the price for all of your sin. And then he said, get ready. You brought me all that sin. I'm going to take it and I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to take all that sin away. You're forgiven. It's done. And I'm going to give you my very presence in your life to help you out each and every day, to give you more power and strength than you can imagine, and to let you know that you are victorious. You're a winner. And we learned all that today. And we learned all that today. So, kids, as you're going to school this year, parents, as you are parenting those who are in school this year, teachers, as you are teaching those who are at school this year, whatever our role is, encouragers. Hey, if you don't have any kids sitting right next to you right now, all you got to do is look a couple seats in front or behind you. There's kids. Encourage them. They need it. Do any adults remember how difficult school is? Anybody remember? Yeah, it's kind of tough. And I'm not talking about reading and writing and math. I'm talking about just getting through the daily grind. It's tough. It's tough. Why is it tough? Well, it's tough because our enemy wants our kids. He wants them. He wants to destroy them. But our Savior died for our kids. In fact, he said, he made a point several times to say, hey, whoa. You let them come to me. In fact, if you do anything to hurt the faith of one of these little ones, good luck. You'd have better chances if I put a big heavy chain around your neck, put a rock on the end of it, and kicked you off the side of the boat. You ever try to rescue somebody in the water? You ever have that joy? Someone's like, help, I can't swim. And you try to go and help them. What do they do? I mean, it's a mess. It really is. It is a mess. That's why I love the lifeguard video. This is one of my favorites. A lifeguard video, when they actually come in and someone's flailing around, the first thing that they do when they get there to them in the ocean is they come back on their back and they kick them. They just kick them right in the chest. It just kind of, I mean, if you knock them out, better. You just drag them into shore. But you just kick them. You just like wake them up. It's a shock to the system. I'm here to help you. I love that. Makes me want to be a lifeguard. Just underwater ninja kick. I think that would be fun. Do you know what? Being with Jesus is fun. Every day. Every day. Church, I fear. I mean, I really do. This one keeps me up at night. I fear that we do not understand how great our God is and what he has done for us and who he has made us. So I hope that this morning, his most important lesson, love God. Love God with all your what? Very good. He said heart. Love God with all your heart. Very good. Love God with all your soul. Very good. Love God with all your mind. I'm coming. We've got heart, mind, soul, and strength. Look at there. We got it. We got it. Church, we got this. Okay? We got this. Kids that are about to start school, you got this. You got this. God is with you every single step of the way. Your parents love you. Your brothers and sisters here at church love you. And we got this. So let's get out there and change the world. Let's get out there and change the world. If you need to respond this morning, now's your opportunity. Let's stand together and sing.
Tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore
What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more poverty, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be.
Please be seated.
Thank you all for coming today. A few prayer requests. Patty and Terry's youngest granddaughter, Ainsley, has RSV, so we pray for her healing. And pray that the younger brother, Henry, doesn't catch it, because it's really bad for the younger ones. Aaron's homesick. Brandon's uncle is having a pretty invasive heart surgery soon, so we'll keep him in our prayers. Of course, pray for Scotty and his trip to La Mesa and the friend going to the ER right now. Robert's cancer treatments, pray for those, that they all go smoothly and everything gets better. Of course, kids starting back to school, the coin jar for the children's home out there, and there's a buffet of vegetables out here. Please take some. Is there anything else? Did I miss one? What you got?
Last week we asked for prayers for our friend, Smith. She passed away Sunday morning.
Okay. Cameron Smith. Yeah. Sure will. What else, Janet? What'd you say? Yeah.
My brother passed away on Tuesday. The memorial service is in September.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep Cameron Smith and Janet's family in our prayers as well. Is there anything else? All right, let's close. God, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for giving us a place to worship you and a family to worship with. We pray that we can rely on you for everything and give you our entire heart. We pray with the stones that Ainsley will get better, that Henry won't catch it. Be with Aaron and get her body well soon. Please be with Robert and Janet through his cancer treatments and through her brother's memorial. Please be with Cameron Smith. Heal him. Heal his heart. Allow him the strength that he needs to make it through the next chapter in his life. Be with Brandon's uncle. Be with the heart surgery going on there. Guide the hands of those doctors. Make him well soon. And be with Scotty and give him a safe trip to La Mesa and back. Thank you for always blessing us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.